Well, did everybody hear thunderstorms last night? It's quite something. Very exciting to have thunderstorms here. Not in Texas, where I lived for 2 years, because you can always have tornadoes, but here it was really just a delight. I'll see what I say later on this year. So Sharon, thank you for the music as always, and Bill, thank you for directing the sound and making miraculous things happen. And Amy, of course, who pretty much does everything music-wise, so thank you as well. Now, I don't know about any of you, but it's easy to be a little bit pessimistic about the future. We have the pandemic. We have something called monkeypox in Britain right now that they're not quite sure what it is, but there's always time to worry about it, and maybe there's got to be another vaccine. This country seems to be even more fragmented than what I remember way back when in 1968. And of course, we have a war between Russia and Ukraine that could possibly spark a third world war. And also, of course, many other wars and rebellions and insurrections going on around the world. And yes, the climate crisis, which looms over all of us. So this week I was, I don't know how I got it, I was elected to be judge of elections for my precinct. And my team and I were there for 15 hours on Tuesday, and somebody said, we were talking about the world as it is, and Alex, do you feel pessimistic? And I thought about it for a few minutes, and I said, well, I have to say I'm an optimistic pessimist. And this is why. But first, let me say a little bit about the sixth source that we're talking about today. Most of you know that the Unitarian Universalism of today, at least for the moment, has seven principles that are ethical statements and they're aspirational. They are nurtured or fed, if you will, from the six sources that help us understand the world, our values, and how to treat one another at our best. And as I said before, their words are on the back of the Order of Service. Originally, there were five sources, ending with the one speaking to humanism and the guidance of reason. And I'll speak about that source next month. I'm not sure why I reversed the two, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. The sixth source was added in 1995 to include Unitarian Universalists with neo-pagan, Native American, and pantheist spiritualities. I do recall that there was some grumbling that the sixth source was flaky, woo-woo, and not based upon rationality. However, it was an effort to articulate our spiritual relationship with the earth and expand how we understood our place in it, and also to have rituals that would be meaningful to reconnect ourselves with the natural world and the spirituality of the world. So such as solstice services being one example, and there are many others. So why am I optimistic about the future? Well, first, just a little bit of history. The first reason goes back to 1968 again, 54 years ago. The first manned Apollo mission orbited the moon on Christmas Eve with a crew taking pictures of the lunar surface for the future landings. One of the astronauts happened to look beyond the bleak lunar horizon, and they saw an astonishing sight. The Earth was rising from the horizon of the moon. And the astronauts were speechless for a moment. So like any good tourist, they started taking pictures. And as a result, the famous Earthrise color photo changed our understanding, head and heart, of this world. Before that moment, the only pictures of the Earth taken from space were low-quality, crude, black-and-white photos. And no one had ever seen the Earth as a breathtaking orb of blue oceans, white clouds, and lands of many shades. Illustrations of the Earth in older books and in movies had looked like cardboard cutouts. And a reason was they were cardboard cutouts. And they looked kind of brown and maybe a little black and maybe some tan. But nothing could compare with the reality of what those astronauts experienced and then what we saw after they returned to Earth. 1968 was a turbulent and hard year for those of us who remember. Assassinations, the Vietnam War, pollution, and feelings of hopelessness. But the Earthrise photo was different. It showed us, really for the first time, our collective home in ways we never could have imagined before. And for many of us, it was an awakening moment that changed us irrevocably. And many writers, in fact, have said that that photo was one of the 10 most important photos, transformational pictures of the 20th century. It was a major reason why the first Earth Day took place 2 years later on April 22nd, 1970. At that time, we began and sort of continued, but really deepened our understanding about how to celebrate the sacred circle of life and living in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Because of that time, and still to some degree today, mostly it was how much can we profit and let's get going to make money. So a half century later, we're still learning. But I think that picture of that day in that terrible year began to change our lives in our hearts as well as our heads. So this is why I'm optimistic. The first reason is because of something that we use and complain about all the time. At least most of us do. Some of us don't, but I won't say you by name. The internet and social media. Some of us remember the Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg, who started protesting against environmental destruction several years ago at her school and also the government buildings in Sweden. She started protesting on her own. But eventually, millions of children and youth and adults led worldwide protests about the dangers of the climate crisis and our fundamental role in it. She's now taking a time out to finish her schooling, but she galvanized the deep worries about the future of humankind and even of this earth. 50 years ago, she would have had a much harder time getting people around the world organized. I mean, for those of us who do go back to pre-internet days, imagine how hard it is to organize people. It was intense. It would have taken a long time. But social media and the internet gave her and many others the means to organize, protest, and begin to push countries into doing tangible steps to protect the environment, and basically to change the ways we live in this world. Now granted, some of us might grumble about the nastiness and falsehoods on social media. Granted. However, a gift of the internet is a connection, a relational connection, almost a spiritual connection we have with one another that we could not have imagined in 1968. For all the anger and the viciousness that we experience online, there are so many other ways in which we learn through relationship, many with people we don't know, about to be kinder, more relational, and more loving. Here's a quick story. I'm still on Facebook. I've tried to cut my use of it down to only 5 times a day. And there is a page on it, and you'll probably laugh at this, Clergy with Cats. And actually, we agree it should be Cats with Clergy, but, you know, who's fussing about it? And there are 2,700 people who are in clergy from all faiths, Buddhist, Taoist, Shinto, Christian, Islamic, Jewish, etc. I mean, it's pretty amazing how many people of how many different faith traditions are on that one page, and all because we all totally believe in the deity and the appreciation of cats. Recently, a Catholic nun had put a posting on about a little kitten she'd found outside who was barely alive, and she asked for prayers that the kitten would make it through, the kitten would live, and so on. And several thousand people submitted prayers over, I think it was almost three-quarters of the 2,700 people on that page. And it was amazing for her, and she said so afterwards, and the kitten kitten lived, which was good. But she said the power of those prayers, by whatever means you want to use the word prayer, helped her through it, and she believed that it helped this little precious life to live. We wouldn't have had that opportunity even 30 or 40 years ago. We would have had to have called one another. We would have had to send mail. We would have had to do something. But that nun felt encompassed, embraced by people of all faiths. And it didn't matter what religious tradition we had. What mattered was that we cared. And there are many, many other stories like that of upholding kindness and love across all boundaries with people, most of whom we will never know in person. So a shared love of our fellow creatures in real time is to me one of the spiritual attributes of this sixth source. The second reason I am optimistic is that healing the biosphere called Earth is spiritually based. And this is where we come in. The chalice lighting words this morning included this phrase, "For we know with brave hearts that from every ending of our lives, we are sent forth to make a new beginning." And this means that not only do we revere and appreciate and embrace the past, as we should, but we also move forward to make new beginnings every day of our lives. Our very spiritual and theological grounding is in six sources. Each one of them is vital to our future. You don't pick one and say all the others are wrong. They're all correct and they're all valid. The sixth source reminds us that living in harmony with the sacred circle of life is more than nice words and a lot of talk. So, as you've heard from Rick and others, myself included, yes, after the service, you will have a special congregational meeting that will give you the means to show how to build that sacred circle of life. Now, let me do an aside here for those of you who are new. In this congregation, in the Unitarian Universalist movement, at least right now, there's a very old premise called congregational polity. That means that this congregation, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Meadville, is responsible for its own future. We don't get money from, say, the UUA. We don't have to ask anyone what we should do. We can select our own ministers. And that is what congregational polity is about. We are in charge of our future. So when you have read the materials, the motions and so forth that will come to the meeting, you might say, okay, wait a minute. Do you mean a new stove in the kitchen or a stove hood is part of the sacred circle? And I would say, of course it is. Because that space over there, like this space, is sacred space. And we want to make it as beautiful and alluring and welcoming as we possibly can for all the future people, meetings, groups, whatever, who come to this place as a community center of love and care and justice. And of course, I always ask, and I'm sure Josh is tired of me saying it, what about the possibility of solar panels? Can you begin the process of becoming carbon neutral? The other repairs and upgrades to that building will prepare you for the next 50 years and beyond. Now, imagine fast-forwarding to 2072, and probably not all of us will be here then, but imagine, we can't imagine, we don't know. This is a time we live in, we cannot know what tomorrow brings, let alone 50 years. I can imagine, though, that our lives will continue and those of our children and grandchildren and visitors. And most importantly, we will learn to adapt, because adaptation is going to be essential if we are to survive as people, as a congregation, as a country, and the world. So I believe that this congregation, this sanctuary, and these buildings will help show many new ways to honor and be grateful for the human capacity to face the dangers that we have created. The six sources are unlike any other theological statement that I know. They tell us They tell us strongly that there are ways to face danger through reason and intuition, and especially the understanding that each of us can teach others on how to create our spiritual home. And not just here, but your own homes, your own community. This is it. This is the time that we have been waiting for ages. It's all coming together for good and ill, and now it is our choice on how to respond and adapt and to be ready for the next generations. This is it. And I believe the sixth source, along with the others, will help us find our way to awakening and the sacred circles of our shared love for ourselves, for each other, and all those who will come after. May it be so. Peace, amen, shalom, blessed be, namaste.